Good morning and welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church this Sunday morning, and wonderful to see the sun shining, and welcome for those of you attending here in the service. Welcome to those who are joining us by internet, and we wish you God's blessings as we worship together. As you're aware, restrictions have been further imposed with regards to COVID-19 in response to the high number of cases in the last while, and certainly we want to cooperate with that, and certainly the idea of wearing masks, and mine keeps sliding down, need to keep that up, is the number one way of ensuring that the virus doesn't spread. Also continuing with other health practices, which in turn helps keep other viruses at bay too. So we want to ensure that we keep ourselves safe, but more importantly, that we keep others safe as well. So we wish God's blessings of wisdom and guidance for those who make those kinds of decisions, but also for us to share in cooperation to ensure safety of all. A couple of announcements this morning as we begin. Just want to draw your attention. We don't have bulletins to circulate, but we have been mailing those out, and also by email, but also by snail mail. If it's by snail mail, unfortunately, you're only getting that every 2 weeks, and so it's a little bit late. But if it's by email, it comes out typically on Friday. One of the announcements I want to draw your attention to is the refugee sponsorship that we are sharing with others in, and family from Syria who are anxiously waiting in Turkey to be reunited with family here in the Niagara area. And so excited for that, and also pray for their safe travels as that takes place in the next while. Also, ministry that the church and other churches have shared with the Westview Center for Women pantry shelves, just to alert, they are in need of non-perishable goods. Their pantry is low, and so the ministry that happens right here in St. Catherine's is in need of your support. I'd like to express appreciation for your support for the ministries of the church that continue during these days. Yes. We want to continue to pray for family and friends of the church as during these days things continue, and also for those affected in the West by wildfires. This morning we begin a new worship series, Pressing On, Finding Challenge and Encouragement During a Marathon Season. And I don't know about you, but there is certainly a sense of fatigue for all the precautions we have to do these days. And I don't know about you, but I don't like change. Change in our lives takes energy. And what we have been dealing with these days has taken an enormous amount of energy as we've had to relearn habits and patterns of how we interact with each other. It's frustrating at times. And so the sermon series, looking at the letter to the church in Philippi, encourage you to read that. Pastor Nick will be sharing on that later in the service, and look forward to this series in the next couple of weeks. I'll also mention the Sunday school has not been meeting in person, but meeting virtually. Information in the bulletins. In the bulletin, also make mention, there's an outline of services coming up. There was one mistake there. As we're rotating every week, or every 2 weeks, between a service geared for seniors and a service geared for younger generations. In the bulletin, October 18 was identified as a younger service. That, in fact, is a senior. There'll be an update next week, so pay attention to those. And just a reminder, all our services here are recorded and available on the internet. As we begin, like to reflect our thoughts and on Psalm 86, reading from verse 5. You are kind and forgiving, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. For you are a great God and do marvelous deeds. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. Thank you, Trudy. For those of you here in the sanctuary, apologize, we weren't able to get the projector working for you to see the text of the music being played. For those watching by internet, they have the advantage that we do have the text available there. So the songs this morning, you'll have to go by memory. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, from our lives and daily tasks, we seek your face. We want to know that there is more beyond this life than what we see. In faith, we trust in you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who redeemed us, who calls us to faith, who calls us to serve you, who calls us to walk in life and in the face of death, because of your power of resurrection. Your power of resurrection at work in the world and in our lives. Thank you for the grace we receive, which empowers us to forgive as we have been forgiven. May the acts of kindness, may the times of confession be times of restoration in our relationships with one another, and lead us to acts of service in the name of Christ. We ask for your blessing in the midst of the pandemic. Provide wisdom and guidance for those who make decisions about health care. We pray for support workers in a variety of ways who enable us to continue living vibrant and healthy lives. Thank you for the grace of community leaders, and we pray your blessing upon them. We also pray for those among us who have experienced loss in these past days. May your spirit provide comfort. For those dealing with transitions, particularly of schools, both students and teachers, administrators, may you provide a sense of patience and kindness in the midst of frustration. May our moments of frustration not lead to anger, but lead to further acts of kindness as we seek to follow you. Bless our time together. May the words from the letter of the church of Philippians be an encouragement and support. Bless Pastor Nick as he shares it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
comes from Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insights, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Thus far, the reading of God's word. If you happened to not be in the middle of a pandemic and visit Tuscany in Italy, you may have a chance to see the Duomo di Siena, or the Cathedral of Siena. In fact, it would be hard for you to miss it. This massive Gothic building sticks out above the surrounding city and is one of the most popular tourist attractions, I understand, in that region. The Cathedral of Siena was built in the early 13th century, and decades later, an expansion project was planned. Work on this began in 1339, and if you read about the cathedral, you'll see this plan described as ambitious, even grandiose. The expansion would effectively double the size of the cathedral, making it the largest Gothic building in all of Italy, except that it was never finished. Construction was completely stalled and never picked up again. Because as the work progressed, it became clear that the foundations would not be able to bear all of the additional weight. And at the same time, the Black Plague swept through the region and devastated the city, bringing nearly everything to a standstill. The Cathedral of Siena is a building that was started but never finished. You can still see remnants of the incomplete addition if you visited the site today. Walls stand up in open air without any ceiling, and where pews ought to have sits or would have sits, now sits a parking lot. If you're at all interested in architecture, you can read about plenty of stories like these, stories of building projects that were started but never finished. You might even be familiar with a few local examples these days. There are lots of reasons why work might end up incomplete in these situations. Most often we know it's because money has run out or the work ends up taking much longer than anticipated. Other times it might be a change of government or a conflict or indeed an epidemic that disrupts those plans. Whatever it is, the result is that something was started but never finished. Today, as we've heard, we're starting a new sermon series that we've called Pressing On, in which we're reflecting on themes of endurance and perseverance as we find them in Paul's letter to the Philippians. This will be a four-part series in which we'll be exploring a different chapter each week. This morning, as we've heard, we'll be exploring chapter 1, and I'll be focusing on verse 6 especially. In this letter, Paul is writing to Christians who had started something. He's writing to women and men who had begun individual journeys of faith with all the initial energy and excitement that comes with that. People who had banded together and started a church together in that city with his supports. People who had started the work of caring for one another and their wider community as well, establishing all sorts of important roles and ministries. Paul is writing here to people who had started something, who had begun building something, who had drawn up a plan and gathered everything they needed and set about work on it. But then construction began to stall. As with actual building projects, there's lots of reasons why this could have happened for them. We know that they began to experience opposition as people who lived in a Roman colony but swore allegiance to Jesus. We know that they suffered pressure and persecution from outside of their church community, and from within, division and unrest had begun to splinter them apart. The Philippian Christians had started something, but now it was unclear if it would ever be finished, if they would continue on with their work or end up walking away from it. And it's into that reality that Paul writes his letter, this letter. Paul's word to this community that's bearing all this discouragement and dealing with all these disruptions is to carry on in faithful determination, to finish what they've started. His encouragement to these saints who have seen their efforts interrupted and threatened again and again is to press on in a spirit of holy endurance, to continue laboring away at their project and see it on through completion. It's an important word. It's, of course, something that Paul had to learn and practice himself as he had seen his own life disrupted by arrest and imprisonment, as it was when he wrote this letter. It's something that echoes, I believe, something that Jesus said as well. You might remember how in the Gospels, on one of those days when big crowds were gathered around him, Jesus spoke about the importance of counting the cost when it comes to this life of discipleship. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower, he said. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. When I lived in India, I had an opportunity to visit historical architectural remains in the district of Mehrauli. There's a massive minaret standing there, measuring some 239 feet tall. In the early 14th century, work started on another tower as well that would stand right next to it when it was done. This new tower would be twice the height of the existing one, which would be truly impressive. Except again, it was never finished. It was never completed. The emperor overseeing the project died partway through and the work was abandoned, resulting in a base of a building that was only 80 feet tall in the end and never touched again. So don't let that be you, Jesus tells the crowds. Don't let that be you, Paul tells the Philippian Christians. Don't let your life's work go unfinished. Don't assume it will be easy at the start and then walk away when the plan proves difficult. Stick with what you've started, even when it gets hard. Continue it and see it on through completion. Keep the end in sight and keep working towards that. Don't abandon the project when progress is disrupted. Hold on to the blueprints and the architectural sketches and hold yourself to doing whatever is necessary to see them becoming a reality. It's a challenging word, an important word, because that so often is our tendency as human beings, isn't it? We come up with all sorts of plans that never end up coming to life. We pick up all sorts of projects and hobbies with great enthusiasm, only to have our interest and energy sputter out sometime later. In his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Eugene Peterson writes that it's not difficult to get people interested in the message of the gospel, but it's terribly difficult to sustain that interest. It takes something to take those first steps in the journey of faith, but the real challenge, I think, is to keep on walking over the long haul. It takes something to lay those first few bricks, but the real challenge, I think, is to keep on with it and keep building, to go on and not give up on the thing. So it's an important word for people of faith, both then and certainly now. Yet on its own, we know that it's not enough. We know that it's simply not enough to be told to keep at it and carry on until our work is done. It's not enough to have someone come beside us and tell us to keep on building, no matter how supportive and encouraging they might be when they try to do that. Because we know that if we go about our work with only our own determination to keep us going, we're at some point or another going to end up in a place of despair. That if we go about that work with only our own resources to draw from, we're at some point or another going to end up depleted. Paul understands this, because again, he had experienced this and lived this in his own life, because I believe he understood something about human nature. And so he frames his encouragement here for the Philippian Christians to endure within the assurance of God's enduring commitment to them as people. They can continue their work in the world because God has committed to continuing the work that has begun in them. They can go on without giving up because God has promised not to give up on them. Paul tells the Christians in Philippi that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. We are God's workmanship, as Paul writes elsewhere. We're like living stones, as Peter said, being built up into a spiritual house. And God will not leave that work unfinished. God will not walk away from the project partway through. God will not leave the structure standing partially completed. It doesn't mean that we'll reach perfection in this lifetime. That's not the end goal that Paul's writing about in this letter. We see that to start in this verse where Paul writes that this work in us, this work within us, will be brought to completion in the future at the day of Christ Jesus. We'll see that in the weeks to come as Paul writes about this fullness and finishing of God's work taking place ultimately in eternity. It doesn't mean that we'll reach perfection in this lifetime. Our lives will continue to be marked by imperfections and incompleteness that we see in those buildings. We'll still be works in progress. But it does mean, I believe, that like the ancient Christians in first century Philippi, we can press on with endurance through life and life's hardships, knowing that God's work in our hearts and our lives is not fleeting, but enduring. We can go on laboring, as the psalmist wrote, knowing that so long as God remains at work, building, our work is never in vain. Eugene Peterson, in that same book, wrote that perseverance is not the result of our determination. It's a result of God's faithfulness. We survive in the way of faith, he writes, not because we have extraordinary stamina, but because God is righteous. We can go on without giving up because God has promised not to give up on us or the world's. So when it feels like our strength has run out, we have a deeper divine strength to draw from. In the 14th century, work on the Cathedral of Siena came to a grinding halt as a result of glaring design flaws and the rampant spread of a deadly virus. For the past several months, we've come to experience something like that as well. Our work has been interrupted. Our lives have been disrupted. Our plans and our projects have been put on hold. In many ways, it feels like construction has stalled. I'd like to stand up here and tell you to carry on with what you've begun, to finish what you've started spiritually, to continue through this time with long-suffering and endurance and patience and perseverance. I'd like to tell you that, and I will tell you that, because I believe that's an incredibly important word for this time. But again, I also know that if I only told you that, it wouldn't be enough. So I'll tell you what Paul told the Philippian believers, that our ability to persist and press on through times like these is made possible because of God's enduring and persisting commitments to us. We can keep on with the work of faith because God keeps on working within us. Starts and finishes receive a good deal of attention in our world. We hold groundbreaking ceremonies for all these building projects, complete with silver shovel photo ops and carefully posed politicians if public funds are involved. We cut ribbons and hold open house tours once everything's complete. We invite people to grand opening celebrations and housewarming parties. Starts and finishes receive plenty of attention. Not so much, though, everything in between, which is understandable, but also, I think, a bit of a shame. Because what's in between, the finishing, the pressing on, is the real work. It's the real challenge. And that's the place where most of us find ourselves most days, the place between the beginning and the ends. So as we continue on through this time, may we find what we need to continue our work, knowing that the God who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. Amen.
Thank you.
As we go from this place, we seek God's blessing on our going and on our giving as well, both today and elsewhere. As we leave the sanctuary, our ushers will assist those who require assistance first, and then they'll lead you out starting on this side. We ask that you wait until you're led to do so. Hear these words of blessing as we go. May you run with perseverance the race marked out for you, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May you consider him who endured such suffering so that you will not grow weary and lose hearts. May you go in God's peace. Amen.